Hello, everyone. You have entered the battle phase. It is I, the Midnight Bard, your favorite bard, and I will take down the Phantom Troop. Joining me, as always, is the boys. He is going to avenge the deaths of the Uchiha clan, Sacro.
Yes. Well, how do you avenge the deaths of something when it's your fault?
Oh, boy.
And he will not stop until he takes down Griffith, Gamma.
Yeah. Griffith is, yeah. has to go down.
Gamma, like, yeah.
like, why does Griffith sound familiar?
Berserk.
Berserk, yeah.
Oh, Berserk. I will never.
So, in case you guys haven't figured out from our introduction, today we're discussing Tales of Vengeance, specifically the manga Kagurabachi, which, you know, I just had a field day today figuring out what the title actually meant. It actually has a little bit of interesting etymology in there. It's actually kind of fun. But before we get started, just a couple of housekeeping matters here. If you are loving the podcast, you want to, tell us what we should read next, or you want to, like, ask us questions, give us comments, tell us how handsome we are, you can reach out to us on our socials at The Battle Phase on X. And as always, I am going to double check that that's right, because I can never quite remember.
I think it's right.
I think it's right, too. But, like, you know, just in case, let's see. Yeah, at The Battle Phase on X. We're also on Threads and Instagram at The Battle Phase. And,
we're on Threads?
Yeah, we're on Threads.
People use Threads?
Nobody uses Threads.
I thought Blue Sky was the new one.
Yeah.
Blue Sky is the new one, but here's the thing. Recently, I was on a commercial shoot, and when I was there, I tried to network with other actors, and apparently Instagram is the thing to use if you're, like, if you're an actor trying to network, which really bugs me because I didn't used to have an Instagram before that. I kept trying to tell people, like, well, you can follow me on Twitter. And they're like, nobody uses Twitter. And I'm like, anyway. So
yeah,
what I ended up doing is I made myself an Instagram. And then at the same time while I was at it, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and make a Threads. And so we have a Threads because one of the things that kind of came up was like, well, you know, I don't really post many pictures, but, you know, I do like to just give little blurbs of things that I'm thinking. And they were like, oh, well, you can use Threads. And I was like, oh, okay. So, yeah, like, so there's a thing that we can do. So that's what I went out and
did. We don't have a TikTok yet, though. Crazy.
We don't have a TikTok yet. However,
aren't they supposed to ban that soon? What happened to that?
Starting January, from what I understand. What I've heard. I don't know. Yeah, and then other than that, our Darker Than Black episode, the cursed episode, is now up, which is exciting because, you know, like, we've been trying so hard to get that one published forever, recorded and published, and then finally it got recorded, and then immediately I had problems while editing it, and I was like, this episode just does not want to get made, does it?
And then like, you needed my audio, and I was on vacation.
I needed your audio and you were on vacation. And then Gamma sent me an audio and his, I was so scared because it cut out like at around 45 minutes and it was almost 2 hours worth of recording for me and you. Mm-hmm. So I'm sitting there like, oh no, please don't tell me his mic cut out and nobody noticed. Because, you know, like there's an entirety of like the remainder of those 2 hours of you, me and Gamma conversing, but you can only hear you and me. So I was like, oh no, we lost Gamma. And I was like, okay, worst case scenario, I could try to edit this so that it doesn't sound like this is a three-way conversation missing a piece. But I'm like, but that's going to be so much work. So I reached out to Gamma. I was like, please tell me you still have your Darker Than Black audio. And he's like, I do. I have two versions. And I was like, please send me both. And one of them was good. That was the one that was like 2 whole hours. I was like, oh, thank God. However, because of how much I had committed already to like just editing it, I did have to start from scratch all the same. So...
At that point, Ghost of Gamma, man. It was just the Ghost of Gamma. That's all it was.
It's all it was. And I was just like, good Lord, man. What is it about Darker Than Black that just does not want to be an episode? This is so wild.
Well, the thing about
my... from the internet, so...
The thing about my doll is whenever it reaches a certain point of recording, it makes another recording on top of the recording.
Oh, I see.
What?
I gotcha.
What are you recording on?
On Reaper.
Reaper.
whenever it reaches like an hour mark, it cuts off and it continues recording.
I'm sure that there must be a setting for you to like mess with that.
I gotta find that out.
Yeah.
Just sail the seven seas for audition, man. It's worth it.
I love how, you know, we don't... Seikro is not a fan of One Piece, but he keeps suggesting One Piece-related things.
I mean, how piratey are they actually?
Have you ever heard of, like, Honest Trailers? It's like, I think it's like a Screen Rant thing.
Yeah, I used to watch Honest Trailers back.
Yeah, so they did one for the One Piece live action, and they were like, oh, well, you know, this is Monkey D. Luffy. He wants to be King of the Pirates, but I don't think he knows what a pirate is. Because, you know, like, they keep cutting to clips where he's all like, pirates don't assault innocent people. Pirates don't steal just for the fun of it. And so he's like, see, if you're on the seas, but you're not committing crime, that's called sailing. You want to be king of the sailors.
He's a sailor.
Might as well.
I mean, I was just going off the... I've seen very little of One Piece, but I figured it would eventually deviate and become what every single one of those shows becomes. You know, like Naruto or ninjas, kind of.
For a
little while.
After a while, it was basically superheroes, yeah.
They become ninjas again near the end, which is kind of crazy when the war starts. Anyway, it's rough topic.
We are off topic. I mean, like, we're doing the you know,
no,
first...
No, intro, no. Yeah. Think about it. It's almost like we're on topic, though. Ninjas, they also use short swords. Just like this series uses swords.
There were samurai swords in Naruto. Yeah. Samurai swords, Naruto,
whole,
ninjas, Kagurabachi.
There's a whole samurai nation, actually.
Yeah.
There is. It bothers me because, you know, me, out of the two, I actually like samurai better. And Kishimoto tried to make a samurai manga right after Naruto, but it bombed so hard. And he was just like... Yeah, and so he immediately was like, you know what? Boruto. And that's how we ended up here.
Yeah, I thought he gave Boruto to somebody else, and they made it. And he just overlooks it, quote-unquote.
I am not 100% sure about that, to be honest. So maybe...
There's another doing my boy Sasuke dirty. That's all I know.
They're doing Sasuke dirty. And I think they're doing Naruto dirty, too, because given how he was an orphan, it's really weird how he's really hands-off with his kids.
Exactly.
Well, it makes sense that he would be. You usually do end up doing whatever happened to you. That's just the trial... That's how it works.
Yeah, I mean, you. I don't know about that, but like, yeah, okay. Other than that, our channel, Gamers Playing Games, you can check out. You can check us up on YouTube or Gamers Playing Games TV, and on there, last thing that we did, we played Bulletstorm, and you can hear Helix fine, but me and Seikro are so muted.
Oh, whoa!
Like, did you go back and watch the stream?
I did not know. Is it really that bad?
It's pretty bad, dude. Like, you can hear us, like, but it's almost like you could hear us down the hallway. You know what I'm saying?
That's what I expected. We had a lot of audio issues for that one for some reason.
We had a lot of audio issues. And, you know, like, it seems like we're going to have to go to the Bard School of live streaming because I learned to live stream specifically on YouTube. So, like, I'm familiar with all of the mistakes we've been making. But a lot of the times I'm like, I need to be hands off so that you guys learn. But at the same time, it's like, oh, no, this is a mistake. I should be hands on so that this doesn't happen.
I mean, every time we start the stream, I usually have to go through Helix's settings or your settings again.
No, yeah,
like,
so, like, you're
OBS,
our audio
you're
guy, but I feel like I'm the broadcast dude.
Yeah, I don't know how I don't know how to do that stuff. It's fine.
Yeah, so, you know, by our powers combined, we should make a perfectly watchable stream, right?
No.
Captain Planet, powers combined. Let's go.
With our powers combined, Captain Planet. Speaking of Captain Planet, so we read 30 chapters of Kagurabachi. This was Helix's recommendation. So, Kagurabachi, I'm going to go ahead and give the spoiler warning for up to chapter 30. We initially intended to read the whole thing, but that kept coming up with issues, and I feel like this is the second cursed episode. As a matter of fact, I think Seikro,
I think it's the fourth.
Okay.
The fourth cursed episode.
Every quarter this year, we've had a cursed episode. What are the other two, though? Like,
I'll find them while you guys continue.
Okay, sure thing. So let me go ahead and give you the rundown of what happens. This is... Kagurabachi is set in a world that's recovering from a great sorcerer war. During the war, sorcerers were kind of running rampant. Magic was kind of insane. People were dying left and right until a magnificent swordsmith named Kunishige Rokuhira crafted 6 enchanted blades. These 6 enchanted blades were so powerful that they very quickly ended the war. Fast forward a couple of years, Kunishige has a son called Chihiro, and he is teaching him the ways of smithing. But the past seems to kind of follow here, and a group of sorcerers show up at their doorstep one day looking for the 6 enchanted blades. They knock out Chihiro, they kill Kunishige, and with that, they leave Chihiro, I guess, for dead. And then we fast forward again a few years to find that Chihiro is now a young man on a path for vengeance. He is very determined to regain the enchanted blades that were stolen, so he's out hunting for those enchanted blades. But on the way there, he is on a war path to put an end to anyone who would have been involved with the death of his dad. You know, accompanied by one of his dad's old friends, Mr. Shiba, a guy who's very mysterious. All we know is that he's friends with the family, mm-hmm. but other than that, his powers kind of like... He never straight up says that he's a teleporter, but I suspect that that's what his power is. I don't know.
I think that they pointed out
that he teleports. Yeah, I think they did in the early one.
Yeah,
teleport somebody and they throw up.
Yeah.
Right. So Chihiro and Shiba are facing an entire criminal underground in an attempt to get the enchanted blade back, the enchanted blades back, and, you know, just put an end to all of those guys involved in this heinous crime. Additionally, there seems to be a little bit of a philosophy here for Kunishige, because Kunishige made the blades knowing that they would be weapons of mass destruction. But at the same time, he did so knowingly, willing to bear the weight of what that meant if it meant that ultimately they would be used for the greater good. And it's kind of a thing that Chihiro kind of carries with him, that he's willing to do the bad thing as long as in the end the greater good is served, or almost like he's willing to carry the burden of all of the things that he has to do for the sake of righting a wrong. I've did some research into what Kagurabachi meant, and from what I've found, it seems to be the word Kagura, which is associated with dances, specifically in the Shinto religion. Kaguras are like these almost ritualistic dances that performed for ceremonies and stuff. And bachi seems to be from an idiom called bachi ga ataru, which basically, it's difficult to explain, but basically it means like if you do things with evil intent, then evil will follow you back. So ultimately, the title seems to imply that this is some manner of dance of divine retribution, which I feel is really good. This anime, or this manga, feels to me, and I don't know if you guys will agree with me, but like very Kill Bill, you know? Because you have...
I've never seen Kill Bill.
Oh, okay. Because you have armies of enemies, right? Like just gangsters. And like they're serving like these very powerful crime lords. And you have one singular, well, not me, he's accompanied by Shiba, but this one singular badass on a war path, and he will not stop until everybody who's done him wrong is gone. And personally, I think that this is a martial arts manga with a supernatural twist. And it's just, it is so good to me. Like, as I was reading it, I was like, this is excellent. I mean, like, the fight set pieces, the choreography, the art, oh my god, this is insanity. I was like, it's been so long since I've read like a manga that's a martial arts manga that had like this level of awesome to it. So yeah, that's Kagurabachi. Synopsis up to chapter 30. That's technically just the synopsis of the premise. So let me go ahead and ask you guys, what are your initial takes, Kagurabachi?
Want to go first, Gamma?
Yakuza with swords.
Yakuza with swords. It is.
Yeah.
Which Yakuza? So, I've played 1 through 4, but I've never gotten really quite past 4.
I never played any of the games.
I've never played a single Yakuza game.
I've just seen shows with Yakuza.
You guys keep telling me that I should.
I was making a joke about it, but no, literally, Yakuza games have the crime bosses in every single game, exactly like this show does, or the manga does.
Yeah.
Down to the exact thing.
So, what are your thoughts on Kagurabachi, Brother Gamma?
Well, so far it's pretty good. If you ignore the fact that the main character only has two ways that he looks.
Yeah, he's a close pretty somber kid.
And just monotone. I'm trying to give him a voice, but all of it, I'm seeing him and I'm going like, this dude will sound monotone as hell.
I actually hear Alex Lay. That's who I hear.
I don't know who Alex Lay is.
You gotta send me a blast.
Yes, Mashal, but also like Sung Jinu from Solo Leveling. Mm-hmm.
That's what he sounds like to me. That's the voice that went to my head immediately, which he's probably going to get the role whenever this comes out.
Let's hope
so. Not if I have anything to say about it.
Adam but on anyway, Twitter, you can take him out.
Yeah, sure. Let's carry on. So you were saying Chihiro seems a little bit stoic.
Yeah, like stoic all the way, even before the incident. He just seems like poker face the entire time, not even laughing. His father showed more emotion than him, even though he's burdening.
He really did, didn't he? Like, they were like polar opposites. Yeah. Like, you know, he seems just kind of like very stone faced the entire time, but his dad is just a giant goofball.
Oh, goofball. But at the same time, I'm like, okay, this is the type of goofball that somebody that's really hurting might be.
Right.
Due to the fact that his source really killed a bunch of people and he just has that blood in him in a sort of way.
Right.
And then those other people, I want to go with a little CJ Champ. They go like, hey, man, we want to get our weapons back. We're going to tear up this town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
I like it. Keep going.
That's what just happened.
Please.
So far.
I mean, the voice acting. Not to keep going.
I know. Like, let's you and I do a piece here, Brother Gamma. We will be criminals, all right? And we're just gonna act out the part. Like, so let me go ahead and lead, and then just kind of match my energy. Here we go. Hey, you hear that Kunishige Rokuhira made 6 enchanted blades? Man, I'd love to get my hands on one of them.
Yeah, that sword that he got. Both of them is pretty.
Is that Popeye?
I don't know.
It's Popeye.
I was ready for Gavin to match my energy. He's just like, yeah.
I'm going on Yakuza. And you're like, Popeye, yuck. I'm like, okay, one of them might be a Popeye. Who knows?
Hey, let's just count this as my audition for One Piece since everyone in One Piece has a weird laugh.
Yeah. Yuck.
They're all Popeye?
It makes
sense. Popeye was a sailor.
Laughs. Yeah. So,
Popeye's going to be a zombie murderer soon because he's gonna be free.
I hope
in the public domain, you mean?
Yeah.
Sweet.
They're already
I can't wait
it,
to
like,
see what they do with that, because what they did with Winnie the Pooh was just glorious. So,
oh man,
I can't wait to see what happens. But anyway, Brother Gamma, you were saying?
Yeah, it's just stoic guy, and everybody shows far more emotion than him, even the family friend. Which at first I was like, okay, this guy's tight. He's showing emotion, and he is, even though he seems to be a brawler because of his physique, he is the sneaky type, though.
Yeah, Shiba, right?
Yeah, Shiba.
Like the teleporter guy? Yeah. You know, now that you're mentioning it, I do remember that early on when Kagurabachi was first coming out, it was a huge thing of contention from people who were, you know, just kind of like being exposed to it for the first time, that they kept like showing pictures of Chihiro with his stone face, right? And everyone's all like, oh, this is just going to be stock character number 74, right? Like, this is just your typical edgelord on a killing spree type character. The thing that I think is surprising about Kagurabachi is that it is exactly that. But at the same time, it seems to have like this weird oddball sense of humor. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but the sense of humor comes from the other characters, though.
Yeah, the humor comes from the other characters, yeah. Like, and I feel like not just from the other characters, but also from like how awkward some situations can be.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And it gets dark.
It, It does a little bit. Yeah, like, so within the first 30 chapters, we kind of encounter a lot of things that this criminal underground is doing, and a lot of it involves human trafficking, human experimentation.
Yep.
And it was some of it on a literal child, right? So it's just like really, really heavy stuff.
With the little child, if you think about it, remember, what's the name of that stupid series I just finished? My Hero Academia.
What's the name of that stupid series?
That was one of the most popular in the world for a moment. Yeah, yeah, got you. Go ahead, Gamma.
When the Yakuza guy was also doing experiments on a girl, too.
Overhaul with healing powers. On Eri.
Yep.
That was the coolest part of that entire series, to be honest
with you. I wanted him to be the main villain the whole time, really. He gave those vibes.
And honestly, like, you know, like, it could never be anyone less than All for One, you know what I mean? Like, because they really set him up to be, like, the biggest Chekhov's gun from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, no, this guy's still alive. I'm like, the guy who almost killed All Might is still alive. I was like, okay, yeah, he's the final villain. There's no chance he isn't.
Yeah, I think we all knew he was going to be the final villain, but we didn't expect how cool that fight to be, that it was just like, how do you actually go up from here?
From the overhaul fight? The overhaul fight mm-hmm. was pretty fucking baller, I'm not going to lie.
In the anime, it was probably like top 10 fights I've seen for like just that kind of anime.
Oh,
right.
It was so good.
Nice.
Yeah. So any further thoughts on Kagurabachi?
The fact that it was a little bit inspired by that show, as a matter of fact. The girl heals our main character just like on the other series, Deku gets healed by that little girl as well.
I see what you're saying. So you're thinking that maybe the author for Kagurabachi was inspired by My Hero Academia?
Yep. At least on this part, since I haven't gotten anything past 30.
It feels like it's also a common trope as well.
Yeah. And another thing that I'm going to say here is that I recently, as I've been doing research on manga of different kinds, I've come to the realization that a lot of these manga artists who end up working for, you know, the same comic book magazines are usually friends with each other.
Oh.
So, like, you know, it's a well-known fact that the guy who wrote Hell's Paradise and, like, the guy who wrote Dandadan and the guy who wrote Chainsaw Man all know each other, you know? So it's kind of like one of those things. So it's probably not uncommon that a lot of the times while they're just hanging out, they're just kind of bouncing ideas off of each other. Mm-hmm. And they just kind of like end up writing a lot of similar stuff because that's what their friends are doing. You know what I mean?
That's what we need to do.
But then again,
Every Wednesday, we're meeting up. We're bouncing ideas mm-hmm. on each other right now.
But then again, at the same time, the way that I see it is more like I read too much stuff. So to me, at one point or another, I'm going to be like, okay, this reminds me of XYZ manga.
So,
since the tropes are similar.
Something to be that I needed to say here is that I forgot to mention who the author of Kagurabachi was. It is Takeru Hokazono. So, like, normally I introduce that whenever I'm talking about the title, but I totally forgot. So, Takeru Hokazono wrote Kagurabachi and illustrated it, too. So, there's that.
Oh.
Now, to your point, Brother Gamma, yes, I see where you're coming from, but honestly, that's a problem with media everywhere when you think about it. Because, mm-hmm. If you look at the most common, sitcom premises here in the U.S., we have, kind of dumb but well-meaning dad, way too hot for this guy mom, and then you have typically two kids, one that's really smart, and the other one who's really dumb.
Mm-hmm.
That's your basic premise for any show, right? And
wasn't
then
it like
usually
the 90s that did that, though? We haven't done that in forever.
Yeah, so the things that are happening now is kind of like, oh my gosh, way nerdy person who doesn't belong in this position ends up in this position, and now they have wacky coworkers. It's almost what it seems like. I'm thinking oh, gosh, Two Broke Girls, Big Bang Theory, et cetera, et cetera. You know what I mean?
Or the overly overpowered character on this series. Not on this manga, but on any other series. With a long-ass title. Way too long of a title.
Yeah. Or my least favorite trope. We're taking a I tripped over myself. We're taking a beloved goofy comic strip or IP from back in the day, and we're turning it dark and gritty. Think Riverdale. Think The Addams Family.
Winnie the Pooh.
You know, or, well, Winnie the Pooh's in the public domain. That was inevitable, you know, because the internet exists
now. They also
did
it with Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
They also did it with Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Which, you know, I thought was fine at first, but then as it went on, I was just kind of like, well, this got really over the top, didn't it? Anyway, Kagura Bachi.
Apparently Riverdale is just better than the actual comics, though.
I liked my goofy Riverdale comics. I liked wondering who's Archie going to end up with, Betty or Veronica. I loved watching Jughead just eat burgers.
Why was it That's Veronica? So or why Veronica was the right choice?
You kept saying Riverdale, and it didn't click in until you said Archie, and I'm like, oh. That's who you meant.
Yeah, Archie. Yeah. Like,
the Archie, dude, guys.
I love it whenever Jughead just eats a bunch of burgers. That's one of my favorite gags.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so Kagura Bachi, Brother Gavin, did you have anything else?
That's pretty much all that I'm thinking. And I'm up to shorter 30. Mm-hmm. I could recommend it.
Yeah. So,
and no,
Sacro.
Yeah. I actually stick within the lines. I didn't went ahead of anybody. So we're Yay! All on the same page.
Oh, here we are. We did it. Finally.
We
only took,
did
what
it.
What episode are we on? Hold on.
11. Actually, this would be episode 12. Darker Than Black was 11.
Oh, you're right. 12.
Yeah. So we did it. Chat.
We
you know,
did it,
episode
boys.
11, we finally stayed on the same page. How wonderful.
Everyone start Fortnite dancing.
Yay. Ooh.
Default Fortnite dancing.
I can only do the floss. That was a Fortnite dance too, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it was in Fortnite. Ninja did
okay.
it once.
All right, great. So, Sacro, your thoughts on Kagura Bachi?
I also really enjoyed it. Like, not... I mean, I have issues with everything I read, but this one's pretty good. I don't know. It's just... It's clean. It's very center of the road for a kind of story I'd like. It doesn't go too drastic in either direction where it could go for this kind of story. There are a few things I dislike. Starting with the character design. Not a fan of Chihiro's character design. He looks like several of the characters. I can't think of the names off the top of my head. He looks just like them. the one we just read, the mage one. Or not the mage. The
I was going to say, he looks Exorcist nothing one. Like Lucas Trauman. The Exorcist one. Which one? Like
the funny
Ultimate
one.
Ultimate Exorcist Kiyoshi?
Yeah, they have the
I
same
mean,
face.
Yeah, I agree.
The stone face. Yeah, like, I guess. But
down
I mean, like,
to
categorically
the thing,
different
the exact same
as
face.
Character designs. Because, I mean, like, you know, so Ultimate Exorcist Kiyoshi, even though he did have the stone face down, he was kind of a goofball, and he had, like, interesting elements, like the tattoos and the bright red hair. Whereas Chihiro is more of, like, a very monochrome kind of character, I feel.
Yeah, well,
yeah,
as far as we've gotten. But that
right.
one's two different shows, same character design, two different shows. Or not character design, same faces, two different shows.
Right.
So there's another character whose design I thought was really, really similar to someone else's, but I can't think of who it was now. And I'm like, oh, the dad.
The dad?
The dad looks just like the guy from Kaiju number 8.
No.
Oh my gosh,
oh
a
my
little
God,
bit.
You're
I didn't
right.
even think about it.
I'm like, dude, these are ones we just covered.
So it's so funny because you're like the dad, and immediately I start like racing. I was like, who does the dad look like? Who does the dad look like? And then you're like, Kaiju number 8. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, like I can pull up a picture right now and drop it in chat, and you'll be like, oh, you're right.
Do it.
The
no,
same
I mean, like,
facial hair, the same hair cut, jaw shape.
Oh,
I'm
right.
like, okay, cool.
The eyebrows are the different part.
Yeah, the eyebrows get me.
The
every
eyebrows,
time.
Yeah. The Kafka from Kaiju number 8 has very specific eyebrows.
But aside from the designs, I thought the characters were interesting and great. I thought the overall plot and taking down criminal syndicates is 100% something I went into. I love the little guy fighting the big guy.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how good or bad the story is. That's just, I love that trope.
Yeah, same. It's a very fun trope. And I do like it because it's also, you know, earlier I said that this was just very straightforward, like a martial arts. This is very Kill Bill, very Tarantino coded to me. One of the things that I love about martial arts movies is that a running theme in them is that usually a bunch of guys can't take down a single guy, or a very strong, very powerful guy still can't take down the single guy, because it's a theme of like overwhelming power versus perfect technique. And that I felt like that was very, very much in Kagurabachi, where it said several times in it that Chihiro is kind of a prodigy. So he's got perfect technique, where what they have is just overwhelming numbers and strength. So it's kind of a question of like, what's better? IRL, clearly the overwhelming numbers probably, but in manga, I love to see the one guy just beat everyone up.
Yeah, it does feel like they throw a little too much fodder at him at times. Like, yeah. He'll just be like, here's my goldfish. And it's like, oh, hey, a goldfish. And they're all dead. The entire room of 30 people is just dead.
There is something to be said about the enchanted blades being really strong, though. I mean, they brought an entire war to an end. And so...
Yeah, I wonder if... Did you guys catch the... I mean, I'm sure you did. It's really, really obvious. But the correlation between the blades and an actual war?
No. Please.
They're called weapons of mass destruction for a reason. It's the nuclear war that we dropped on them that ended a war. The whole plot and premise is just based around the whole nuclear war thing and how the guy felt bad, but he felt it was necessary to make, and he's going to carry that burden for the rest of his life, which he did.
I mean, yes, kind of. I mean, I guess I could see it, yeah.
They literally call them WMDs, which is what the nuclear warheads are called, WMDs.
Mm-hmm.
So it just felt like an obvious connection to me. I'm like, okay, yeah, I get where you're going with this.
Plus, and the government wanting the weapons for themselves too.
Yeah, straight up with the government taking the weapons. Yeah, the government thing too, mm-hmm. And then people who shouldn't have them having them. That was a whole thing. I'm gonna look further because I'm sure there's more connections there. If there's like a rogue state that just steals some and then they start a war because they claim they have them, then we're going a little too deep here.
Right. Oh, that would be so funny.
Yeah, I'm waiting for that. But I like the characters. I wish they did more, because lately I've been noticing a trend in a lot of the stuff we've been reading.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just like an overwhelming amount of either just male characters or just female characters. And the groups are not mixed at all.
Right.
In the main cast, we have Hinoa or Hinoa?
Hinao. Char, which is the little girl. Char, yeah. And, We have a girl antagonist, or like an anti-hero, so to speak. I think I put her in the notes.
Hiyuki?
Let me see. Hakuri?
Yeah.
No, not Hakuri.
The one with the bone.
The one with the bone,
The flame bone, yeah. Hiyuki.
The flame bone. Hayuki? Maybe.
The one who got hit in the face and bled and then got knocked out.
Which, by the way, as far as characters go, she was super cool. I was like, I really hope she ends up joining the party because she's awesome.
Yeah, I liked Hakuri. Hakuri. I like him too.
Yeah, the heir to the Sazanami family, the guy who's turning against them. Yeah.
The very last chapter on 30 that we read,
he
summoned his power.
Yes, he did.
Like his mask formed like what his dad has. So I'm either going to be really strong or he's just going to be the comedic character the whole time. So we'll find out.
I feel like because he's facing off against his brother and because he did try to, and, you know, we're getting into the weeds here, but, like, he did try to use it before, you know, when he first met Chihiro, and his power wouldn't summon. I feel like there's kind of, like, a weird thing where it's, like, either he needs to come to terms that it's his family's power because he's basically distancing himself from them, or, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, hey, you know what, because it is a family thing, if you're not in accordance with your family, it just kind of like disconnects.
I think that is more like, since he's not the head of the family, he cannot use the power.
Right. Well, I mean,
because
he's
it does
still
look
not the
just
head
like
of the family
dad,
when he first
so.
Summons it, though. Right. It does kind of look like his dad's. Maybe, and you know, again, theory time, but like maybe this has something to do with him like inheriting the room, you know, the warehouse.
Like they say that he was the back. He may have been the backup plan.
Right. So, anything else to add, Sekiro?
I had a really funny joke I found on Reddit, but I cannot remember what it was.
No,
it was about this anime. It was about Char. Oh, someone said they hope that they do a good romance story, like the one in Seven Deadly Sins.
Oh, no, please, no.
No, someone said they do a really good love story in Seven Deadly Sins,
and they're like where they get together and before the show ends, and I'm like, I don't know what they're talking about. They're like, I hope it's not like Seven Deadly Sins, Bond, and whatever that girl's name
exactly,
was.
No.
Right.
I'm like, and oh, yeah, I caught you.
That's the only thing that I could think of, and I was like, please, no.
That's exactly where I was going. Like, no. There's a little girl.
No. Do not.
Yeah, no. That's what I was trying to get to. They don't have much. Like, Char's got a sad backstory, but she's just not really a character for me yet. I feel like she could be an Anya type thing.
She has like the most personality out of everyone in this story.
She's just a child.
Feed me.
I know.
The entire time, feed me.
Yeah, feed me.
I love that one chapter where she's in the back seat and Chihiro's like, okay, fine, let's get you food. So he gets her food. And then like immediately she's like, we need some dessert to wash this down. So he's like, okay, fine. And then they like got her some dessert. And he's like, you satisfied now? And she's like, well, and then now she has a boba tea. He's just like, you just had dessert.
I think so, she got the boba tea before the dessert.
Right.
She's like, well, I got to wash the boba tea down with something. He's like, right, you're right, my bad.
Oh, gosh. I actually saved like a screen cap of like one of the pages because I thought it was so funny. And I was like, I know we're going to discuss Char at some point. So I was like, let me see. Where is this? It's
I did have one more thing, too.
Okay, go for it.
I liked Chihiro's whole inner struggle, his whole struggle and stuff. It feels relatable. It's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I do wish he leaned more into the vengeful side of things.
Oh.
Because he's turning it... Because at certain points, he just kind of turns into every anime protagonist ever, where I have to defend the innocent and fight for what's right. My dude, you just care about killing people. Like, why are you doing that? I get why you're doing it, but like, he just jumps to it really fast. And it's just every, I know it has to be that way. That they're never going to make the story that's just like, oh, here's the bat. Here's the main character you care about. But he's also just brutal and ruthless. They just don't. They don't ever go down that way all the way.
I want him to be brutal and ruthless at times.
I was like, those do exist. Just ask Gamma. He has a whole bunch of them. He's recommended.
But like, I've read a few. Specifically, this is a shonen, right?
Right.
And so shonen protagonists usually don't go full like revenge mode. It's always like the optimistic good guy main character who kind of prevails, or they always have that side of them. So
I kind of like that's wrong. I feel like I've seen one, but I can't tell you what it is because I can't quite remember it, and I swear it's like bugging me now, but like I feel like it does exist, but given that I can't remember what it is, I feel like you're right, because it's if it does exist, it's very uncommon.
Yeah, I wanted more of Hei and less of Ichigo, you know?
Right. True. Yeah.
And since it's vengeful, I would have gone like, just go full Sasuke. Without...
Yeah.
Not even full Sasuke. Sasuke has like, before he kills his brother, he's almost an okay character. And then he's like, all right, time to go full on. Mask
Krapika
off, kill everybody.
Hunter. Krapika from Hunter Hunter was out for revenge and he did not care. Like, as a matter of fact, he almost
succeeds. Is he the main character?
He is one of the main characters.
Gone?
A Krapika.
Karupika? Yeah. He changes later on.
In fact, Krapika was the prototype for Sasuke. It was Kishimoto was inspired by Krapika to make Sasuke. Because think about it. It's like, this is a clan of people with special red eyes that are all massacred because their special red eyes are valuable or a problem. And then their lone survivor, who watched the whole massacre, decides to go ahead and avenge his entire clan by, you know... He is
like,
the prototype Sasuke.
I'm like, there's so much more to that story.
Oh, no, there's a lot more. I mean, I'm just saying, like, the bare bones of it, like, that's what it is, right? But, yeah, anything else about your first takes on Kagurabachi?
No, that's about it.
Okay. So, as for me, I think I've already said my piece. You know, like, I like Chihiro as a character. I like that he's not your typical goofy shonen protagonist, you know what I mean? Because a lot of them have kind of like that tendency to be a Goku or to be a Saitama or things like that. He's a little bit Saitama, but because he's like very deadpan and like the face to me is just like bored Saitama face. But I like that he's kind of like a more serious character because this is a type of variety that you don't see very frequently. The martial arts set pieces in this were incredible. I really love the way that the artist incorporates the magic of the blades and the sorcery into just sword fights. It just looks really cool. To me, this is better Bleach. You know, like, as far as the fights are concerned, this is better Bleach. Because Bleach ultimately kind of devolved into that, I swing my sword and I'm nowhere near you, but my giant flash of an attack is just going to reach you wherever you are. And this is very grounded. You know, we're in close quarters fighting each other. And I really, really do enjoy that. There is superpowers involved, which kind of like, you know, like takes you out of the grounding, but, you know, whatever. That said, I think that there's a lot of interesting things going on with the magic. There hasn't been like a very specified way that the magic works as there is with a lot of shonen titles where it's like we have to have a hard system like chakra or which eventually ended up being like, yeah, you know, everybody has infinite chakra. You know, but like initially it had kind of like a very hard system or Nen, which is the hardest system in all of manga and anime. But this is like almost like a very soft magic where it's like, yeah, you know, like if a guy can vaguely explain what his magic does, it can do it, you know. And I really like that. Though everybody is kind of limited to that one thing they can do, right? So, you know, Chihiro's Enchanted Blade has three powers, and those three powers are what he's going to keep using. How he uses them is how it differentiates itself. One thing that I wanted to bring up is that the art in this is very Naruto. And what I mean by that is Kishimoto has a very specific art style where his lines are very scratchy. It's got a very... specific texture to it, and I felt that Kagurabachi had something very similar. The difference being that the guy from Kagurabachi, unlike in Naruto, where you know, like you use the hatching and the cross hatching to do a lot of your shading, the guy from Kagurabachi kind of did a lot of like just full blacks. You know, like there was panels where like he wanted to like really emphasize what was happening, so like the whole panel would be black. And, like, the character would just kind of blend in from the shadows. There's a few panels of Chihiro, like, using the lightning sword, get Cloud Gouger. Mm-hmm. And all of those kind of had that effect. And I was like, I really, really love this. But, yeah, so, like, that's basically my take on it. I think as far as a manga goes, as an action manga, this is pretty great. Character-wise, I understand Chihiro's a little flat. There is a, like I mentioned earlier, there is a little bit of a philosophy involved there where it's like, there is vengeance, and I can see where Sekiro's coming from. Like, you know, can we just lean into the vengeance without making it about like, protecting the innocent? But ultimately I feel like there was no way to avoid that, because his dad, that's kind of why he made the swords in the first place. People were dying in a war and he wanted it to stop. So he did a bad thing to bring about the good for everyone, for the innocent. And I feel like Chihiro is kind of on the same path, but different.
Shouldn't they lean a little more into that then? The people have to get hurt in order to save the many kind of thing?
Like, maybe
forsake the one for the many, because that's kind of what they did.
They did, yeah. Actually, like at the, well, actually no, they didn't. They did the exact opposite in the final chapter that we discussed. We had the one girl, and I forget her name, but she's the one with the flame bone. And
Yuki.
She, yeah,
for the
so
third
she
time,
and Chihiro
Yuki
are facing off against each other. And, yeah. You know, she basically says, oh, well, we have no need to, like, fight you or anything, because what we're going to do is in this auction where they're selling one of the enchanted blades, we're just going to buy it. And so Chihiro kind of, like, comes out and says, well, so what you're intending to do is these people who are holding this auction where they're selling this weapon of mass destruction, where they're selling people, you're intending to give them money. While, you know, a kid is outside crying for his sister who's going to be sold. That's your plan. You know, you're going to forsake the one person just for the sake of the many. So they did kind of the opposite. You know what I mean? Yeah, so it's complicated. And I feel like within 30 chapters, we're in volume 3. So I don't know where the story's going to go from here, but it's got a pretty great setup, I feel.
It was also a little bit weird how Yuki went like, hey, I gotta protect you, because now you don't got your sword. But if you get in my way, I'm gonna arrest you.
So real quick, I'm just gonna like highlight the events of the plot here. So like, you know, so we actually covered a few story arcs. So the first one is basically the introduction story arc. We learn about Chihiro, we learn about Shiba, and we first get introduced to Char, who seems to have a bloodline ability to heal. And it is rumored that her clan's blood could potentially yield immortality, which is huge for the criminal underground, which is kind of why they want her.
Well, technically, it was a rumor that you eat the flesh of the people to gain their ability, which is way worse sounding than taking their blood.
They commit cannibalism.
Right. So, yeah, it is kind of like one of those things. So really, really messed up. And then we follow up, you know, Char gets kidnapped. Chihiro goes to get her back. And we meet one of our first big bads, who's an arms dealer named Sojo. And this dude was so badass. Like, the whole... Dude, there was a chapter, I think it was chapter 17, which is Chihiro and him have already fought once. And this dude is so into, like, Chihiro's dad, Kunishige, because he thinks, you know, like, I'm wielding this sword and I understand what your dad was about. Your dad was about power. And Chihiro's like, no, my dad was about bringing peace by whatever means necessary. So... power had nothing to do with it. He didn't care. And they have like this clash into who understands his dad better, right? And then in chapter 17, they meet after Sojo just awakened the power of Cloud Gouger. And he took down a whole group of government guys out to get him. What were they? The Kamunabi?
Yeah, the Kamunabi.
So like, yeah, the Kamunabi. So there's this group of elite dudes who just take out sorcerers, and this one guy with an enchanted blade took out all of them, and now he's here to fight Chihiro. And in this chapter, it's basically like the chapter preceding it ends on like their fight was over in a moment. But this is a full 10-page chapter, and the moment is just being stretched, and like all the moves being made, and all you can think about is like they're moving at the speed of light is what's happening. These are a bunch of moves happening back to back to back in the blink of an eye. This is so exciting. I was like, this is great. I love this.
And at the same time, that Soju guy, he was evolving as a fighter, because the information that Chihiro gave to the Kamunabi, it just proved wrong, because he said, hey, he uses his attack. One of you is going to have to eat it. And the cooldown is such and such seconds.
Right.
But depending on the sorcerer, that could shorten out.
Right. And it's almost like maybe these enchanted blades kind of like... they probably also bring out like the best in their wielder. Like if there's a wielder that wields a specific blade for an elongated period of time, it's almost like they start to become one or something, you know?
I think that is part of it, because they do... attach themselves to the blade, the person does.
True.
They do. And they did say earlier, as he was learning the blade itself, it was learning him. And so, yeah, he shaved off 2 seconds from his thing, and it was enough to win that fight.
Right. So that was like our first story arc. We rescue Char from like this dude. And then the next story arc that we started and we didn't conclude, because by chapter 30, we're just getting into the thick of it, is the auction. Chihiro and Shiba get... word that there's going to be an auction where one of the enchanted blades is going to be sold. It's a huge criminal underground auction, so there's going to be a lot of dangerous people there after the sword called Shinuchi, which as of now, I don't think we know what it does.
We just know it's the strongest sword.
We just know it's supposedly the strongest. It needed a specific container, because unlike the other ones, Kunishige said this is the one that we can't allow to fall into the hands of bad guys, and which is exactly what it did. So this auction is led by the Sasanami family, the leader of whom has the power to create this metaphysical warehouse, supposedly metaphysical warehouse, where he stores the items that are going to be for sale. And these items include anything from like high value thingamajigs to weapons of mass destruction to people, as we said. So just very cartoonishly over-the-top evil villain guy. And so Chihiro, Shiba, and one of their new allies, one of the fallen sons of the Sasanami family, Hakuri, are making plans so that they can infiltrate the auction and take back the sword before it falls into any wrong hands. And there's all kinds of stuff that goes down in between here and there. So with all of that being said, what was you guys' favorite story plot? What was your guys' favorite chapter?
I don't know if I have a specific chapter, but I do really like the fight with Sojo.
The fight with Sojo was so sick.
He literally gives up his arm to win the fight.
Yeah.
And yeah. I like how it was told, because they're fighting each other, but it's told in a way like they're sitting down for tea. They're discussing.
Yes. Yeah.
But they're not, obviously. It's like a lot of people say, a lot of anime, manga say, they talk to each other by fighting each other. Like,
right.
I learn you better through fighting. It's like, yeah, okay. I say that a lot in anime, like, but they actually showed
like the
what that would
be. Sasuke and Naruto, right?
Right. And like, I've said this before, and everybody rolls their eye when I say it, but I'm like, I can tell a lot about a person by the way they play their Yu-Gi-Oh cards. Everyone rolls their eyes when I say that, but I'm like, I can read an opponent very quickly the way they do things. So it's like,
wouldn't that just be based on deck knowledge?
Deck knowledge, but also like their sequencing can tell you a lot of what they have in hand. That's really specific, but anyway,
I'm thinking about it.
Trust me, bro.
You gotta explain yourself.
I play people
on
League of Legends. I can tell
what
kind of player
episode.
They are, but I can't tell what kind of like who they are as a person. I can tell what kind of player they are.
Gamma, back me up. You can tell a lot about a person by the way they play their cards.
Okay, no shade to our friend
I thought you
on the
said
server.
No.
But there's two types of Yu-Gi-Oh players. The ones that embrace you. And the ones that go like, I miss the good old days. When it all
yeah,
that, you
they're
going to
say those
is...
who can read and those who can't.
Also, yes.
When you have to play Blue Eyes, bring out two monsters, and that Blue Eyes will finish the job.
Right.
Nowadays, you can bring out your strongest monster on turn one.
But additionally, and you know, like this is just the last that I'm going to say about this is pros have certain tics that they do. And I don't know where they learn these things, but it has been the case that every time that I've faced off against somebody who's done very well in a tournament, they have certain things they do. Like, for example, like they'll shuffle like whatever cards they hold in hand, they'll just keep shuffling them. Hmm. You know, like they do not like their hand to be stationary. They will constantly be shuffling them. They will every time that you play a card, they will point to it and then just kind of like take mental note. And so like it's really weird, dude, but you can kind of tell.
I think that's a whole nother discussion for people who play.
It is a whole nother discussion. This might not make it to the final episode. I might leave it in.
Because based on what he's saying,
it's like
I want to ask Bar, okay, so what kind of guy was the dude going around with the box saying that undefeated, come and duel me
at
the convention?
Obnoxious is what that kind of guy is. 100% obnoxious.
You don't need to duel him to know what he's
Yeah, you don't
about.
Need to duel
yeah,
him
he just
to know.
Tells
this,
you.
This is why I said no. He came to ask me, he's like, you want to duel? I was like, no. I was like, I could already tell that this will be the most insufferable game that I've ever played.
He's going to like start calling out moves as he's using them.
Yeah. So just, I'm like, I do not want any part of this. But anyway, Kagurabachi, so we were talking about like the your favorite chapter and, you know, knowing your opponent by fighting them.
Yeah. I didn't care for, like, Sojo himself was fine. He just felt like the typical first crazy guy you meet.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he was very evil, so it was cool to see him lose.
Right.
But a big thing, too, was the difference between how they interpret things, right? So he sees into what his dad has done, completely misinterprets the thing entirely, but believes he's correct because there's no other way someone else can look at this.
Right.
As soon as he gets challenged, he's like, oh, how dare you challenge my worldview?
Yeah.
And that's and then you start fighting, you know? And that's, I think that's a big thing that people can take away from this story is there are a lot of worldviews out there, and some of them might actually be wrong.
For sure. For sure. That being said, I thought Sojo's design was just super fucking sick, though. I thought as a character, I was like, that's how you design a character. That looks cool.
I hated his eyes, but everything else was cool.
Doesn't he kind of look like a Bleach
he
character?
Had like, a little bit. Like he had like the Bleach eyes. Yeah.
I think just everything's everything nowadays.
Kubo had stuck. A very specific way of drawing eyes. So, like, Sojo had it going on. I was like, yeah. But yeah, how about you, Brother Gamma? Did you have any story plot that you enjoyed more than others?
As crazy as it sounds, I like the powerless guy, Haruki.
Uh-huh.
He actually has inspired our main our protagonist, telling him, hey, that sword suits you. Because
yeah, and also, like, you saved me, exactly. Is the thing that he said to him. Yeah.
Yeah, you saved me, and he also... We didn't see it until later on that, hey, that guy actually saw the fight and he saw Shihiro take that full lightning head on so that everybody could live.
Right.
So that happened. And then the fact that he goes into that fight, you know, that guy with the power that creates the whole sumo ring.
Mm-hmm.
He takes a punch in the face so that way that power goes away.
Yeah.
I don't know if he did it on purpose, to be honest. Well,
I mean, he was taking the punch for Chihiro for sure, but I don't think that he knew that the pocket dimension would disappear. Like, so I think he intended to take the punch for Chihiro. I just didn't think that he knew what the result of that would be.
All those little accidents that he does are quite funny and convenient at times.
Yeah.
Why are his eyes so big? I'm looking at his character design again. Those things are huge. He also kind of looks like, what's that failed God show where he's trying to get people to follow him as his new religion or whatever?
Oh, man, there's so many.
He makes swords out of people, or he, like, makes swords out of souls.
Noragami.
Yeah, he kind of looks like Noragami's, the way they design characters in Noragami, like the main guy.
Uh-huh.
Right.
At least from this image I'm looking at. I'd show you, but this is audio only. Sorry.
If you like shows about failed gods, you gotta watch Kamikatsu. That was a trip. But anyway, Brother Gamma,
so far,
continue.
I like the manga. It's just the main character. I agree with Sakura as well.
Hmm.
I want more leaning to the vengeful side of you. Go all out. Because that's right. My type of manga.
And, you know, there's no telling if that ends up happening or not, because, again, you know, we're only into the third volume. We don't know what happens beyond here. I kind of do, because initially we were going to read up to chapter 53, so I'm, like, two chapters ahead. And there's a thing that happens where I'm like, oh, interesting. This could be a tipping point.
Hold on. Am I hearing right?
What?
The bar went ahead of us?
Well, the intention was to get to chapter 33.
Yeah.
It turns out that what we said earlier was a lie.
At least he's not being like, you know, you're right. You're wrong.
I'm not so far ahead of you guys that I have just like omniscient knowledge of like story plots, you know, like two chapters ahead, you know, like honestly, the status quo remains unchanged. Okay. So,
also, you guys asked about the cursed episodes earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we've got, the mage one, 400 years, that took us forever to do. We pushed that back like a whole month.
We did.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, and then we also had the Darker Than Black episode, obviously. But then we had another episode in between those two, and I had it up, but I closed it down. So that sucks.
No, okay. Well, I'm going to trust you on this. So, any other favorites? How about characters? Which guy was your favorite character for you guys?
As crazy as it sounds, I will say the older brother.
Hakuri's older brother?
The crying one?
Yeah.
The crying one?
Just because I like his design, though.
Oh, okay. Is it because I like his design, not because he's a little bit of a maniac?
He's very crazy, yeah.
Yeah. How about you, Sakura?
Brother thing. Hayuki for now.
Okay. That's flame bone girl.
Because the flame bone is such a cool idea. Please take it to its next logical conclusion.
Yes. Yes. Also, I happen to think she's very pretty. I would love for her to keep being in this manga.
Flame bone.
The darks on her are so dark that I couldn't tell what she was wearing half the time when she's moving around.
It's a suit. I mean, like I said, this is very Kill Bill, and everyone in Kill Bill wore suits. If they were a bad guy, they were in a suit. Unless they were a schoolgirl, in which case... Kind of yes, but no.
I need to watch it, I guess.
Wasn't Lucy Liu in that movie? And also, no,
Lucy
it's
Liu
not.
Was in Kill
it's
Bill.
Not Kill Bill. There's no toe sucking. No.
There is it?
Oh, well, yes, I don't need to watch it anymore. Tarantino has a thing about feet. It's weird.
Oh, I know. I saw I saw the clips. I've seen the Dusk Till Dawn.
Right, right. I'm going to say that for me, favorite character, oh gosh, is firstly, I love Char. I think Char is just hilarious. I mean, she was exactly the note of brightness that this kind of grim tone needed. A lot of the times, you know, like your action, your shonen, things like that needs what they call like the save the cat moment, where your hero saves something that's sweet and innocent and cute so that you know that they're a good guy. And Char was that. But aside from Char, because besides getting kidnapped and healing Chihiro, nothing happens. I have to say I'm a fan of the dad, Kunishige. I feel like he is a guy who kind of hid a lot of wisdom and a lot of like knowledge, a lot of expertise behind his kind of like dumb guy persona. And I think a lot of it was probably because due to the fact that he did a bad thing to bring about peace and he kind of didn't want his son involved in any of that. Mm. So I feel like he was trying to paint kind of a whimsical world for his son. Where things like this, yeah, you know, they're a thing of the past. We put the swords away. We try not to look at them. We make sure they don't fall into the wrong hands. But for the most part, that war is over. And now when we talk, you know, we talk about goofy things. Like, what are the goldfish saying? You know, I wear silly T-shirts. You know, like, so I don't know. I really, really liked that. I was like, I really wish that he'd stuck around, that he was still alive. There's no telling if he is or isn't. You know how manga is. So, yeah.
But I think he's down and buried, though.
Maybe.
Wouldn't be the first time. I'm going with that theory now.
Yeah, there is, you know, there's more than one manga where the guy who was dead and buried somehow comes back at some point, even if it's just for a little bit. I mean, Grandpa Gohan came back to fight Goku in Dragon Ball, so...
Yeah.
You know
then again, is there's sorcery, so there might be necromancy somewhere.
There might be necromancy involved at some point. Yeah, like I was thinking Naruto at first, where I was like, hey, the first and second Hokage came back to fight people. Okay.
Yeah, through basically like zombification.
Through basically zombification, it still counts.
That was a cool fight.
It was a cool fight. So, with that being said, do you guys have any closing thoughts on Kagurabachi? Would you guys recommend it?
Yeah,
I would.
Yeah.
I do have one final question for you guys before we end this.
Yeah, cool. Go for it.
Are you guys, okay, are you guys Team Hayuki or Team Hanao?
Hayuki for sure, because Hanao was kind of like, did nothing. You know, like, she's like a glorified babysitter for Char after a while.
Oh, yeah.
That's all she does so far, yeah.
Yeah.
But who do you think is a better foil to Chihiro? Like, as a love interest?
I'm a huge fan of, like, of characters who are in a ship, you know, like, they're ship together, but, like, they're as strong as each other, so they're constantly challenging each other, you know what I mean? So...
I can't name any.
For Hayuki and Chihiro, it's kind of a thing where I'm like, I like the idea that flame bone is said to be on the same level as an enchanted blade. Because I'm like, I really would like for them to sharpen each other's skills in whatever relationship they have going forward, whether that be friendship or rivalry or whatever. You know, so I'm like, I'm a huge fan of that dynamic, and I really want that to be the case here.
But knowing how anime usually goes, which do you think is the more likely option?
I'm still gonna say Hayuki for sure.
Hayuki, okay.
Yeah, because Hanao, like, unless she gets like a ton of character development in the next couple of chapters, I'm like, she's just there, you know? She's Alfred.
She's not even on the main character list on the front page, so I don't think she's getting a whole lot.
Yeah, like, you know, she doesn't have her own cover, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not yet.
Not yet.
You know how long it took for Hanao to get her own cover, though?
A while.
Yes.
Yes.
And then after that, she was never used again.
So
the tragedy of Hinata.
Right. So you guys would recommend it. I would recommend it too. I would say that this is definitely one of the better titles out there right now. It's really enjoyable. It's got a very, you know, it's got a very simple plot. It's not as complex as a lot of them. But again, we're only on volume 3. It could evolve into something weirder. We don't know. Somebody pointed out recently that a lot of shonen is, you know, like these are your basic everyday guys going about a life until at the end of the manga where they're fighting gods. And so we don't know. Maybe like they all seem to find their way there eventually.
What if the One Piece is God?
Well, there is gods in One Piece. There's four of them.
Oh, so when we find them?
Well, Luffy is one of them.
Oh, that's less interesting.
So, yeah, so with that said, that is Kagurabachi. Just a 3 out of 3 hosts would recommend. We think it's really, really good. Any closing thoughts, guys?
If Helix were here with us today, he would also recommend it. So that's going to be 4 out of 4.
False, actually. I texted him last week, and he was saying he didn't enjoy it.
What?
I thought he was the one who recommended it.
Oh my!
Yes, but like, you know, he recommended it because it was something that was available and that it was new. But when he texted me about it, or whenever we texted each other about it, he was like, "I gotta be real with you. I'm not liking it." And then the next text I got was like, "I finished the auction arc," and I was like, "Okay." And so I really wanted him to be here so that we knew what it was that he didn't like. Because I was like, I liked it. And I kind of got the vibe from Sacro that he liked it. And I had a feeling that Gamma would like it. So, like, I really wanted Helix to be the one that told us why he didn't like it. But I don't know.
Sorry, I should have been more critical. Let's see.
Usually I'm the person that says, I don't like this.
What do you mean?
I thought I was usually the I don't like this guy.
Yeah, usually, I was going to say, like, yeah, but you more often than not, you're actually very okay with things.
Kagura-sama.
Well, Kaguya-sama was one thing. Name another.
That you was your Kaiju idol, and I said no.
Oh, dude, you know, just a closing thought. I may cut this out, but you guys hear that Oshinoko concluded and the fans did not like the ending? And
no spoilers, please.
Yeah, no spoilers. I don't know what happened. But so Aka Akasaka supposedly, after concluding Oshinoko, said, hey, I'm coming up with this new manga. It'll be published soon. And like, there's a huge movement to boycott it because people were like, no, Oshinoko ended like crap. No, go back and fix it.
He already has another one going.
Yeah. And so there's a new one.
If he does the incest route, I'm done.
Yeah.
Also, have you guys heard that the creator of One Piece is sick, having some health issues?
That's not surprising. All manga artists get there eventually. I mean, it is a nightmare, dude. I'm like, please don't work yourselves to death.
That journey might not end. Say,
girl, nothing, you may need to finish the series after all.
Don't worry, I'm working on the 3-piece right now.
Sacro will save us. Sager,
I will.
Save us.
I'll have to actually read it.
So with that,
if he dies, I'll read it.
Okay, if he dies, you'll read it. Okay. Does that count if he finishes it?
No.
I see. I knew that there was going to be a loophole here. I knew it. So with that being said, thank you for joining us today for our review of Kagurabachi. It is a great martial arts manga. It's got some interesting fantasy elements in it. It's Kill Bill with magic, which is just super cool. Until next time, I have been the Midnight Bard. These have been the boys.
Later.
Later, everybody.
Adios.